Hell yeah.
Vanya, how are you doing?
Hi, Mike Jensen. I am doing, I don't even know how I'm doing because I feel like I'm like flying by the seat of my pants today. I just am like propelled in the air.
Yeah, I have a lot of things to kind of talk about, but I'm also feeling a little disorganized because I made apparently the horrible mistake of trying to let my computer update.
Oh, yeah.
Starting 3.5 hours ago.
Oh, my God. And it's still going?
Yeah. And it's had 10 minutes remaining for about 45. Oh, 5 minutes. Look at that. We went from 10 to 5.
Oh, that's big.
But like for about an hour now. Yeah, it's going real slow.
Oh, God. How old is your computer?
It's super new. It's like a pretty new, like it's my desktop that I usually use. Thankfully, I still have my laptop that I kind of like had to go through and just delete stuff so I can record on that.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll all be fine. But I'm like, doesn't it also feel like everything's updating all the time?
Yeah, I'm not into it. I don't like it.
There's so much of it. And like, I own a lot of Apple products. So I know that as soon as my computer has an update, the next day, like the iPad's going to have an update. And then the next day, the watch is going to have an update.
Ew.
And it's just, yeah, everything's updating all the time.
I know. And it's supposed to be good, right? Like it's supposed to fix bugs and different like things that aren't working, supposed to make everything smoother. But I am with you. I have no time for an update. I don't even have time to shut my phone off. Like when you told us about that fact, how you're supposed to shut your phone off every once in a while, since we spoke, which was maybe our first episode, that was 18 weeks ago. I've only done it once.
Yeah.
I can't. It's so hard. I'm like, oh, I should probably turn my phone off and on, or, you know, do that thing that Mike told me I should do.
Yeah, I don't do it very often either. I don't do it very often either. Yeah. Anyway, technology. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
I really wanted to start off by saying that I received so many, I mean, we both did, but we got so many great messages after last week's episode, and I responded to a few of them. I didn't respond to all of them. So if I didn't respond, I hope you know that I got your message and that, I mean, there were some really like astonishingly beautiful and heartfelt messages that I got. I mean, I got a lot of messages from friends, like close friends and family, but I got so many messages from strangers and from people that just listened to the podcast and felt the need to reach out. So I just wanted to overall say like a big thank you to everyone for being so loving and supportive. It really did mean an awful lot to me.
But Mike, your bravery, honestly, of talking about it, you knew that people needed to hear that right now. And I mean, I thank you for letting me be on this podcast with you because I just love you so much. Seriously.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to start off with. It has been I did have a bit of a weekend.
Tell me.
So I guess I'll kind of go first and talk about my weird couple of days that I had. First of all, I got some stuff done. I feel like, did I talk about last time that I couldn't figure out getting my driver's license renewed?
Yes. Yeah. Tell us.
So I went to the eye doctor that I had gone to a few months ago, and they were super, super like friendly and like, oh, we remember you. We'll write this note that shows. And then they can't submit it because they don't have their database set up, but they gave me the thing that I can submit. So I was able to go online, and I think I have a new driver's license on the way. So
amazing.
Fingers crossed that should be here pretty soon.
Great.
I also don't know if I told you that when I went to get a rapid test a few weeks back that I had gotten out, I knew that my driver's license was expired, but I pulled out my New York State ID that I had and discovered that that was also expired.
Oh.
Which was fine. Like, the clinic didn't care. Like, they, you know, all they cared is that you have like some kind of proof that you live in New York. So it worked out fine. But I will say, I don't know. Did we cover this? That I got my first vaccine dose.
Okay, yes.
On Thursday.
Okay, great.
And I don't know if we, I feel like I don't know if I'd gotten the appointment right after we recorded, right
it
before
was
we recorded,
right after.
But anyways.
Yeah, it was right
it
after.
It was right after. Literally.
Yeah.
Literally, we were like stopping our recording and I got a message from my friend Annabelle being like, check your email. And it was great because I was starting waiting tables on Friday. So it felt really nice to get that first step done with. But you also have to have some kind of valid ID or some kind of proof of residence to get the vaccine started.
Sure.
And I thought, well, I don't think they'll really care that the other ones are expired, but thank goodness at least I still have my passport. My passport expired in February. Like, how?
Oh my my God.
How did every single ID that I own expire in the last six, perfectly timed for the pandemic, in the last 6 months?
Such a nightmare.
So once again, it wasn't a big deal because you can literally bring, I have my rent slip that you can bring, and it ended up being fine. But I was just like, this is insane. Like, I literally couldn't get on a plane right now, which is a little bit nerve-wracking. I mean, I'm not getting on a plane right now, so it's totally fine. But
right.
It was a little bit nerve-wracking as I discovered that all of my IDs were expired. So anyways, I went on Thursday and I got the first dose of the vaccine. And I'm going to tell you a little story here.
Okay.
I got very, very sick.
Oh, did you?
So just for anyone listening out there, I they said that there's a possibility of certain side effects happening. And, I got the vaccine on Thursday. On Friday, I woke up and I just didn't feel great. Like, I didn't feel super sick. And I took my temperature and I didn't have a fever. So I felt fine going into work. Like, I just was like, oh, it's a little achy from that first dose. It's fine. And I worked and it was fine. Honestly, by the end of the night, I felt totally fine. I was like, all right, that's good. I mean, my arm was sore. Like, I definitely had a sore arm where they had done it, but I was feeling perfectly healthy. I woke up Saturday and felt totally fine. And around 2 in the afternoon, I started to feel just a little chilly. Mm. Like, I felt like I had a bit of the chills. And anyone that knows me knows that I don't get the chills. Like, I get the sweats. Like, I'm sweaty and hot all the time. And by 3 o'clock, I was violently shaking.
Ooh.
Like, chilled so much. And I thought, I had a shift that night that I was supposed to go into. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I guess I'll just take my temperature and I'll see what that has to do. And seeing the number 101.5 pop up on the thermometer, I was definitely like, oh, I have a fever. I have chills. My body aches. I immediately went into a panic of did I get COVID? Did I get sick? What kind of crazy coincidence is that 2 days after I get the vaccine, I suddenly get this virus? And, I had to call work, and I will say my work was super, super supportive. They, very much no, take care of yourself. You can't come into work. We're going to figure it out. And I felt terrible. Like, I was supposed to, I was actually helping a coworker that night by switching shifts with them. And of course, then couldn't do it. So they had to work the shift that they had thought they'd, switched out. But it was pretty, it was very, very alarming. I felt very, very sick all night. I will say that my fever came down a little bit later that night. It came back down into the normal area. I woke up the next day and still did not feel good. Still felt shivery. Still felt very just when you've been sick and your body just hurts.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's what I had. So the clinic that's right next door isn't open on Saturdays. Good to know. But they were open on Sunday. And I went over and, I told them, hey, I got the vaccine a couple days ago. I had a fever last night. And they were like, well, we'll get you in right away. We'll do the tests. You get the rapid right away. You'll get the other one later. Long story medium size. I did. It came back negative. I woke up Monday feeling much better. I feel fine now. So I guess my point is, just know that if you get the vaccine,
it could possibly.
Yeah. And I had read that. Like, I looked it up and they were like, there is a possibility, but I thought it was such a minor possibility that I was really surprised. But I was very shocked by how much it hit me. So I suppose on one sense, I feel very secure in the fact that I clearly am now teeming with antibodies.
Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. That was my kind of strangely eventful weekend. Yeah.
I'm so glad you're okay. I remember you texting me, because we're connected by our Apple Watches, and you did a workout and it was insane. You burned 700 or 800 calories. I was like, what the hell? And you were like, and I made a funny comment, I'm sure. I'm like, oh, you're good for you. And then you wrote back, yes, but I'm feeling a little fluish. I remember you writing that back and I was like, oh, well, that could happen if you work out too hard. But I didn't know that you kind of felt not well. So I'm glad you're okay.
Yes, thank you very much. And once again, feeling fine now and no regrets. I'm very happy that I got that first dose. I feel very relieved about it. I go back March 25th to get my second dose. So things are chugging along. I was reading somewhere or listening somewhere where they were saying it's not a finish line. We don't see a finish line, but you can see the horizon right now. The horizon is out there. It's not an end, but it's the beginning of getting over the hump. So that felt like a nice metaphor for me, that it's, we don't see the end, but we see a horizon.
Yeah, That's good. I like that. I want it. I want to see the end, though. I like that one. No, I am kidding. But well, my week was, you know, not very exciting, but I'm still unpacking.
Yeah.
And I found some boxes, actually, that I hadn't seen in, I think they were even still in boxes in New York. And, you know, for people who have moved a lot, there's always things, and even if you haven't, but there's always like things you keep that you don't see, that you don't find. So I got to go through some boxes and that was fun. Otherwise, like, you know, walking my daughter to school, she's in person right now. And, you know, I think there's about 8 kids in her class. It seems really, you know, where we're at, it's nice because it's pretty open and vast and it's like LA. So it's like everything is, you know, sort of almost outdoors, really. They could seriously be sitting outdoors. So I'm feeling very good, safe-wise, for her. But the crazy thing is like, as I'm walking, you know, there's a lot of people because there's these beautiful trails everywhere. Sidewalks, I guess you would call them. But people aren't wearing masks. I mean, let's say less than half of the people are wearing masks. And I'm like, is it that you think you're outside, so that's okay? I mean, it's a little breezy here all the time. Is that why you think it's okay? Like, why am I still worried? Or, you know what I mean? That's sort of my question as I'm moving through this life. I'm like, I know you're walking, but you're or running runners. I'm like, I know people say you can do that, but then I just get nervous. I'm like, should I cross the street? I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I have really, when I say mixed feelings, I don't really have mixed feelings about this. I just feel like, well, two things. I did sort of breeze over. I did have one shift back at work, and it is indoor dining. I was inside for the shift that I worked. And I'm going to say it was startling how many people inside just never, like, sat down, took their mask off, never put it back on until they went to leave. And I get that there are... I guess that there are some restaurants that aren't caring about that. I just feel like we're still in a place where when your server's there talking to you, you should put your mask back on. And I did hear people say that. And it was also alarming the number of people who said, oh, no, we've got both of our doses. We're fine.
Oh.
And I heard a coworker say back, oh, that's great. Well, I haven't. So if you wouldn't mind putting your mask on when I'm standing here. Because, like, the doses don't protect the person you're talking to. Like, they only protect you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. And even for outside, I have gone running. I used to go running once a week. It was like every Monday I would go for a 5-mile run. It was part of my schedule.
Good for you.
I have in the last year I've gone for 3.
Oh.
Because it's really, really hard to run in a mask.
I know.
It truly is. And I don't feel comfortable. Like, I'll take it off when I'm not near anybody. But depending on where you are, like, there's usually people around. So it's really hard. I get that it's uncomfortable, especially if you're running. The thing that I keep going back to right now is that we just don't know what the variants are doing.
Right.
Like, we don't know what these new strains are doing. So if in the past you had to really interact with someone in order to catch it from mm-hmm. them, we just don't know for sure if that's still the case or not.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel you. My roommate said this to me, actually. I feel like it was like January 1st and he went for a walk and he was like, well, it seems like everyone's New Year's resolution was to stop wearing a mask. Because it's a lot of that. It's a lot. And New York isn't big and spread out. Like, we're all kind of right next to each other on the sidewalk. Yeah. So
I know. I'm like, do people know something I don't know? Am I being like, I kind of feel like, and I don't care really, but like, you feel like, am I the nerd? You know what I mean? Like, are people looking at me being like, look at that dumb person wearing a mask while they're walking around. Look at open spaces. I don't know. I don't really care, but I, you know, your brain goes there. I'm like, are they making fun of me in their heads?
I've had the same thought. Yeah, I've had the same thought because I always have it on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even take it off when I'm walking and no one's near. Like, I tend to just leave it on.
It's just,
I don't know.
Perplexing to me. But yeah, so that's my week.
Now.
I'm glad. Me too. I know.
Yeah.
What are you digging?
Yeah, so I will say I did finally watch Promising Young Woman.
Yamsa.
What a movie. What a film. I mean, I was really blown away by it. I mean, I had... have mixed feelings about how it all goes down.
Sure.
But I get it. I support it. That might sound weird, but I think that Carrie Mulligan is unreal.
Right.
She's so good.
She's
bewitching. The whole cast is so good. What she does, I think, also is really, really tough. I think she has a really, really hard job to do.
Yeah.
And to do all of that and to keep you on her side, which she totally does, yes, in my opinion. Yeah, it's a pretty stellar performance. So I was into into that. I've seen a lot of stuff in the last little bit, and I could kind of talk about a few things. And I'm going to now say what I'm going to go with for my official digging. And it's not a thing you can follow or you can watch. I just wanted to talk about my eternal undying love for Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Yes, yes.
I love them so much. I love them together. I love them separately. I love their sitcoms. I love their books. Both of their books are so great. Vanya, you bought me Amy Poehler's audiobook, so I loved listening to that. Fun story for all those that are listening. I gave my copy of Tina Fey's book to Vanya. Yeah. I had just finished reading it, and we met up at my old restaurant for dinner. And I was like, "You have to read this," and I gave it right to you. And then we finished dinner, and I got up and I went to go to the train, and I was like, "Well, I really want to read that again." So I walked up the street to Barnes & Noble and bought a second copy so that I could read it again. I read Bossy Pants 5.5 times in a row. Ugh. Like, I literally would read the last line, go back to the beginning, start again. I got halfway through it the fifth time, or the sixth time, I want to say, and was like, "You have to read anything else. You have to read a magazine." Like, it was getting to the point where, like, I was literally thinking about, what if I did, like, Mike Jensen is Tina Fey in Bossy Pants. Like, I was thinking of doing, like, the show. I love her. I love it. I love them. I'm not going to skip ahead, but a spoiler alert, it's what we're going to talk about for our topic. I thought they did a great job hosting the Golden Globes. Mm-hmm. I just love their energy. I love their humor. I love their friendship.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I'm loving more than anything.
Oh, I love that.
Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
And, you know, as I was unpacking my books, this is one of the boxes that I found, it had the book in there, the one that you gave me. I was like, I would have given you that back, but then I was like, oh yeah, that's right, you bought a new one.
Yeah.
So then I kept the other one. Uh-huh. But I love it too. I've read it a bunch, and I also bought the audiobook of Tina Fey because it's fun to hear her read it. It's so great. It's just so good.
Yeah, I should do that. I haven't heard her audiobook. Oh, yeah, I should check that out.
I mean, you might as well. You've read it enough times. It's
right. I think that I know what it sounds like is the problem. Like, I've read it so many times that I'm like, she sounds like me. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure you do. I mean, you know. Okay, so what I'm digging is, have I talked about on this podcast when I came to New York for my honeymoon? I think I did a little.
Did you?
Okay, well,
I don't remember.
Here's the thing. When I'm digging, I've got two.
Okay.
So as I'm unpacking, one of the boxes that I found are these old photos I have that are many years old. And there's this one photo album of my trip to New York City in August 2003 with my husband. We're newlyweds, and because we both love theater, and so we had tickets for all these shows, and Mike lives in New York, so I was going to see Mike. Mike was going to meet my husband for the first time, which is crazy because he didn't really even meet him as we were dating. So yeah, it was really exciting, you know? So our first show, the first night, we saw Long Day's Journey Into Night with Brian Dennehy. And it was great. It was a long journey. It was a long journey. And so, you know, we had just gotten off the plane and we're all like, tired.
I always say with that play that it's not even so much the long day, it's the night. Oof. Like, that third act is like, somebody end it for me.
I feel bad thinking that. I was like, no, I'm here to see some theater. I'm going to enjoy this.
That third act is murder.
Yeah, and so it was. But, you know, we were eating good food. And the next day, we were out and about. We were down in the West Village, sitting, having a happy hour cocktail. And it was weird. We were outside, like, on, like, the sidewalk, and the lights kind of went out, and we were like, that's weird. And we didn't know anything, but what happened was the blackout of 2003 in New York City, and actually all of the Eastern Seaboard, almost, like, blackout big time.
Right.
Like, I wasn't even sure if we were going to be able to fly home. All of our tickets for our shows, I mean, we had our tickets, but all the shows were closed. I have pictures of me and each one of us standing by the door outside and just, like, looking sad with our tickets in our hands. So we didn't get to, the only show we got to see was Long Day's Journey Tonight. I know we were supposed to see Hairspray. We were supposed to see a bunch of them, you know, even, like, Phantom, and we were just going to go for broke and just be tourists because that's what we were there for. And Mike came, we had to, like, because the cell phones were jammed, so I couldn't even, and my dad was having surgery at the time in Washington State, and thank God they were fine over there, but I was like, I can't get a hold of anybody, I'm freaking out. And they still had payphones everywhere, so you could use a payphone, and I was still in the phase where I had my long distance calling card number memorized. So I did that, and I called my dad, make sure he's okay, called you got on your rollerblades and rollerbladed, I want to say like 120 blocks down.
Yeah, it's about that. Yeah.
It was crazy. And for the rest of the time, we just kind of did what we could do. We walked around and saw things, ate a lot of pizza because that was all that was really working because it was a lot of firewood pizzas. It was a different trip. But I will say, and I have so many good pictures, Mike. I have so many good pictures of you and my husband, Adam, and I'm going to share those on our Instagram because it's just, they're hilarious. They're so funny. But yeah, it actually made my husband and I, once he finished school, that's the decision we made to move. Not only Mike being there, which is a huge factor, but like, we were like, you know, New York is a special spot. Because people really, you know, the neighbors came out, people talked to you, everybody's real. It was awesome. How do you remember that time?
Oh, yeah. I remember being in my apartment. I was supposed to work that night and it was so hot. And I had the AC in my bedroom and the AC in my living room going. And then it's like the lights started to dim and then they went out. And then I went outside and the street lights weren't going. And I was like, oh my gosh, I caused this. I was certain it was my fault. I like had blown electricity for the entire Eastern Seaboard. And then, and I didn't have a cell phone at the time. I still had a landline, oh, which is how people were actually able to get in touch with me.
Yeah.
Because I still had, you know, I didn't need electricity. And I remember it was my friend Patrick came over that night. He was just coming back, I think, from Boston. And he, like, the bus that he was back on dropped them off on the other side of, like, the Williamsburg Bridge.
Oh.
And they had to, like, walk into the city. Anyways, so I definitely have memories of, like, mango mojitos that night because that's what we drank. And then I remember the next day getting in touch with you and getting my rollerblades on. And it was, like, literally, like, 120, 130 blocks that I rollerbladed down. You guys were staying at the Waldorf Astoria,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah. It was a gift from our mother.
They've given you glow sticks, yep, or something like
glow
that?
Glow sticks, and we, you know, walked, I don't know how many flights. I can't remember. I should have, but it's like 30 flights or something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah.
That could be a lie, but
and
it was
remember,
a lot.
I remember taking a lot of taxis. I remember like being in cabs with you going around the city and yeah, eating a lot of pizza.
Oh yeah.
But I remember having a really fun time. I remember it being like a really like enjoyable evening.
It was magical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah. Anyways, I definitely have memories of that blackout.
It's just crazy to age. I have to be honest about all, because what happened was I was unpacking and then I'd just stop and look at a book, like a photo album, and I'm like, couldn't stop. And one, it makes me think that I have to make sure everyone has photo albums of now, even though everything's digitally, because it's so fun to go back and like really look and sort of fantasize about remembering that time, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's so easy to make them. Like there are so many good, yeah, like applications you can use to make those. I also am pretty sure I have a picture of Adam and I from that day on my fridge.
Oh yeah.
So when we're done, I'll have to take a picture of it and send it to you and you can verify.
I'm sure.
That it's,
I know exactly which one it is.
God, we're such
babies.
Little babies.
Also, that's the thing, yeah, is like everyone, guys, if you're in your 20s, love yourself. Love yourself. Because as you get older, it goes so fast and you look back at a picture 20 years ago, or not really, but it was almost 20 years ago.
It was close.
And
yeah,
you're like, man, I was really nice. Why did I ever think I was fat? Dear God.
Right.
Or whatever. Or why did I think I had acne and my skin looked like crap? I think this picture looks great. If only I knew what I look like now was going to happen.
Which you are still beautiful, but I know what you're saying.
Oh, I have one more digging.
Yes, go for it.
Okay. So you know how we're cooking for ourselves and we're all getting like such fatigue doing that. So I'm Armenian. I'm half Armenian. My dad's Armenian. And growing up, my dad cooked amazing food, and my mom too, actually. He taught my mom how to make a lot of stuff. So we, you know, probably 3 days out of the week ate Armenian type food. But as I become an adult, I kind of like was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want that food. And so it's been a really long time. But I also found my old Cuisinart that I got, and I made homemade hummus.
Ooh.
And I made rice pilaf, and I made like some amazing chicken. I had some really lovely comfort food from my family, and it was fun. It was comforting. It was nice.
That's nice. I love, yeah, that. I want you to cook when I come out there.
Oh, I will. Oh, I will.
So anything in particular that you could do without this week?
Yeah. Okay. So, it's almost a year now. Almost exactly a year. Let's see. What's the date? Today's the 2nd. This will come out on the 5th, I want to say. No, 4th. Mm-hmm. And in 9 days, it'll be a year to when everything went quarantine for us over here in LA. I have probably had an alcoholic beverage 1 to 8 every single night of that year. And I was just like, you know, I'm not blacking out. You know, there are some nights where I feel like, ooh, I got tipsy there. Whoops. There are some nights where I don't get tipsy at all, but I still have 2 glasses of wine or whatever. I thought to myself, I really should take like a minute and not do it. But I've been using it as a little bit of like calming down, you know, like we as parents were like marketed to like, you gotta have a drink to deal with your kids. And so I've had a hard time giving myself a break from alcohol because I'm not like extreme. I don't feel extreme. You know what I mean? Like I'm using it for like relaxation, enjoyment. I feel like sometimes, like I laugh more sometimes. It was like, and with everything so stressful with Trump in presidency last year and or the last whatever years. I mean, let's be honest, I probably drank a lot since he was in president since 2016. So I was like, I need to take a break. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I just like, I can do it, but it's like, why? Because it makes me happy to have a beverage. So anyways, I started reading this book called Quit Like a Woman by Holly Whitaker. And it's actually been great for my brain because, I mean, she was a hardcore abuser of alcohol and, you know, definitely had some rock bottom hits. But the way she, it's called Quit Like a Woman, The Radical Choice to Not Drink in a Culture Obsessed with Alcohol. And first of all, she talks about her own experiences, but then she starts to talk about, and I don't want to give it away for anybody. And also, she is very militant, you know, like she has been through it all. And this is how she's come to dealing with not drinking. But she talks about how our society praises alcohol. Like after you march for your rights, you go and drink with your friends. You know, it's linked to all these things. She compares it to like big tobacco and how in actuality, it is probably just as bad for us in different ways. The way she puts it is really good because I was like, oh God. But the way she frames it switched my mind to be like, I'm going to take a break because I don't need to be putting that into my body every single day. Like, you know, our bodies are made up of, how do I even say it? Like, you know, our chemistry gets a little messed up when we're having alcohol every single day. Our liver prioritizes alcohol over other things that we're like breathing and, you know, ingesting or whatever. The way she puts it's great. But the thing that was like, I was just so irritated by was the way that they market to women. So if you guys don't know, I work in advertising and have for probably 5 years now, I think. And I used to work for a company that made razors or, you know, I worked for a brand that made razors and I stopped shaving because I found out like 100 years ago when they started marketing, they weren't selling enough razors. They were selling them to men and they're like, how can we sell more razors? Well, we could sell to women. So we need, how do we make women want to buy our razors? Well, what happened is they made them feel dirty. Like your legs are not clean. You're not yourself if you don't have shaved legs, all these things, right? So that pissed me off. And I did not shave my legs for 2 years. I mean, maybe a little here and there, but like I didn't shave my legs or my armpits because I was like, someone marketed this and now that's why I do that? Bullshit. I'm like, absolutely not. So and I got over it because the truth is my legs get really itchy if I don't shave my legs. So I have to shave them and moisturize a lot. In fact, I might need to get like laser hair removal because my skin's very itchy. Whatever, that's a side note. But with the alcohol, it's similar, you know? It's like we've been targeted with like rosé all day and you see influencers and all these people. I feel like maybe I'm a sheep, but I definitely bought into a lot of that stuff. Like I need alcohol to deal with my children or whatever. So the way she puts it, the way Holly Whitaker talks about it in this book, and I'm only in like chapter 4, it's manipulative and, you know, it could potentially turn out to be just as bad as tobacco. And it kind of seems like it might be. Anyways, I'm not going that far. I'm not going to not have a drink ever again, but I made one yesterday. It was my first day, most likely my first day in the last year without having a drink for 24 hours. And I'm a little embarrassed to say it, but it's true, whatever. So what I'm not digging is my dreams. Oh my God, my dreams were so insane last night. Sorry, that was like a really long like preface to tell you that like if you don't drink alcohol, oh, and also it gets out of your system 3 to 4 days. So in 3 to 4 days, hopefully I'll be not having those crazy dreams or whatever. And hopefully I do need my system to come back on. Like even, you know, it talks about your gut health and the flora in your body and TMI, but it can cause yeast infections, which I have had, you know, here and there. And I'm like, why am I getting these? Well, probably because I'm continuously putting ethanol in my body. And it is ethanol. It's the same shit that goes in cars and paint and all these other chemical things. So it's a different form, but it is the same thing. So anyways, crazy dreams. I had a dream last night that I was supposed to be working. I was late for my shift as a cocktail waitress at a club. And it was like, I like stressed about it probably for 4 hours worrying during this dream and just like going in circles.
Yeah, I didn't know. I will say that I did not know where this was going. I was like, I wonder what it is that she's not digging. I wonder when we're... Yeah, I know. I think we've talked about it a little bit. I am definitely one who imbibes more often than I probably should. I've been pretty good over the last year at taking breaks here and there, but I can attest those first couple of nights, the dreams are insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. I feel like so. Now that there's a vaccine, now that, you know, we have a different president, that's where I'm like, okay, I cannot drink for a little bit now. But like I said, I've never been, you know, like I'm very responsible. It's not like, you know, I'll have like two drinks where sometimes you don't even feel like you're tipsy. But in my mind, I'm like, because I also want to get fit. So that's another thing. It's like just open calories kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
So it's a complicated journey I'm going on right now, and we'll see how long I can last.
Well, good for you.
So are we on to our topic?
Quickly, my could do without.
Oh, I'm
you
sorry,
actually
Mike,
already touched
I'm
upon
sorry.
It. No, it's super, super simple. It's just the mask fatigue.
Yeah.
Like we're not there yet. Just keep your mask on. That's all. That's real short.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that really, I think because I went back to work for the first time in so long and like had so many people without masks near me that I was kind of like, oh, we're not there yet. Keep your mask on, please. So that's all. So yeah, our topic I also already kind of hit upon, and you know, we don't have to get too deep into it, but I just thought we would talk about the Golden Globes a little bit.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'd love to.
I thought they did a great job. I mean, I will say to start off with, I get that this is, I suppose, unrealistic. I had hoped they wouldn't have had to be so remote again. Like I was hoping...
Yeah.
Right? Like, I thought that the point of having them in LA and New York was maybe so that, like, the nominees might
right.
be in the room and maybe they would wear masks, but they would take them off to give their speech. And so I don't know. I get that, like, that might have been unrealistic. And you did have some people that were, like, in foreign countries. So there wasn't a way to make it
right.
totally work. I guess that, and this is looking forward, I just can't imagine the Oscars being remote. Like, I just can't imagine, like, us having an Oscar ceremony where it's like this. But that's neither here nor there. I thought they handled it really well. Obviously, I thought that Amy and Tina were hilarious. I love their their chemistry is so good. I feel like we chose a lot of winners.
We did. We have good taste.
Like, yeah, we totally talked about Daniel Kaluuya and he ended up winning, deservedly so. And you had talked about Schitt's Creek and both Catherine O'Hara and the show won.
I love her.
I was certain that she wasn't going to, only because the Golden Globes tend to go with like the new shiny thing in television.
Yeah. Which would have been...
But I was really happy.
Who?
Kelly Cuoco, I thought, was maybe gonna...
Oh.
Not that she's new, like she's been on a show before, but The Flight Attendant is really new.
That was really good,
and
too.
And we did... Yeah, and it was really good. Like, I wouldn't have been mad about it. Yeah. I thought that she was fantastic, and it's a great show. But it was fun to see Catherine O'Hara get that. And yeah, I thought it was a fun night. Oh, Rosamund Pike ended up winning I Care a Lot, and she was so good, and that was fun, and I loved her little shout out to Borat and Rudy Giuliani. I thought was funny. She seems fun. I would like to be her friend.
Me
just
too.
Putting that out there in the world. I think that we could hang out together. Yeah, it was a fun night though. Anything stick out for you?
Yes, I was obsessed with Jane Fonda's speech. I love Jane Fonda so much, but like her, I just wrote a little bit down. She said, in turbulent, crisis torn times, stories have always been essential. Stories have a way to change our hearts and minds. They can help us see each other in a new light, to have empathy, to recognize that for all our diversity, we are humans first. Oh, she says, you know, she's met people where maybe she doesn't necessarily feel so empathetic to, but once she sits down and gets to know them, her heart opens and she can see them as like each other a little bit. And that's why she talked about like, that's why all the great conduits of perception, that's the word she used, which I love, like Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, Lao Tse, they all used stories, metaphors, poetry to change people's minds. And I just was like, oh my God, you're so good. And then she went on to say very important things. But my God, it definitely put like a little fire under my ass of like, A, to create something that will make, for me, I want to bring people joy and like bring people levity. But also... to figure out a way to like be an activist, because she's just such a badass.
Yeah, she's very, very special. I've had love for her for a really, really long time. If anyone follows me on Instagram, I haven't put this up yet, but I just received 3 Jane Fonda DVDs in the mail, and I'm very excited to. 2 of them I already owned on VHS, but you know, let's go ahead and upgrade. I know who buys DVDs. I do. We've established this. I've actually never seen Clute. So I have Clute just arrived. Okay. I'm excited to watch that. Yeah, she's just a special person. And I was just talking to a roommate about her because did you watch the documentary on her that's on HBO?
Yes, I did. She is incredible.
Yeah. And what I think is almost even more incredible about her is that you can look at her and think, you know, she's had fame and success from a very, very young age. And you could look at her and think like, wow, she's just really always had it together. And then you watch her and it's sort of like she kind of got it all together like in her 60s, it feels like.
Right.
Like she has been such a perpetual work in progress. And I find that so inspiring.
Yes.
And not just because I'm not particularly young, but because I think it's such a great thing to never, I've said this in other mediums, to never consider yourself done. To never be like, I figured it out. To always be like, no, what else? Like, what else can I learn? What else can I get better at? How else? Like, I'm not complete yet, and that is a good thing.
I love that. I love
She's inspiring.
That.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Otherwise, it was great. Chadwick's wife.
Oh, my. Wow. Oh, my God. I will say I had a half a second of like, oh, I wonder if this is a good idea. And then she was so... Like, her words were so beautiful and, like, elegant and, like, so deeply meaningful. Mm-hmm. Ooh, man, that got me. I was a little bit of a... Mm-hmm. I could go there right now. I was a little bit of a mess.
I know.
So, I know. Yeah, I don't know what to say about it other than, yeah, it was a great moment. And she, man, she... I don't know if this sounds silly, but she did him proud.
Yeah.
It was a great moment. Yeah.
The other one that gave me a misty eye was when the Minari writer, director one, and the little girl, his daughter, basically jumps him and she's like, Daddy, I prayed for this. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, sweet. Yeah, sweet moment.
Yeah. It was a good night. I enjoyed it.
Yep.
So there you go. Do you have a random fact for us?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I have one and it's very quick. So we can wrap this up quickly. You know, I just thought that I'd put out there and let people know. Did you ever know this that my mom went to high school with Sharon Tate?
Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah, they went to the same high school, graduated same year. Who knows what reality becomes legend, but she talks about having like sleepovers. Like they definitely,
oh my God.
We're like friendly. I remember going home a few years ago and a little restaurant that had been closed forever had reopened and they had on their table tent. They were like, and Sharon Tate waited tables here. And my mom was like, Sharon Tate never waited tables.
That's funny.
But anyways, just thought that I'd just a random thing that I thought that I would mention.
Oh, that's
my
great.
Mom and Sharon Tate were once friends.
Yes.
There you go. All right. This was fun. This was a long one. Oops. This is going to be a...
It's because I couldn't shut up. I'm sorry. Actually, no, I'm not sorry. Here's my voice.
Don't be sorry.
I stand proud.
It was all important.
God bless.
It was all good.
Oh my God. Thank you guys. Thank you, Mike Jensen.
Thanks. Thank you, Vanya. Thanks everyone for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows, but you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
Sorry, I had a spam risk call come in.
Gotcha. It says paused. I don't know what's happening there. Also, fun fact, my computer just restarted.
Oh, yay.
Apparently that update went through.
Great.
How exciting.
Ooh.
All right, go on.
Okay, so...